Well, good morning. If you've got your Bibles, we encourage you to turn you to Psalms 100. This is where we're going to start in just a moment. We're delighted you could have an opportunity to come and to worship God. This is important. So good to see each of you. We never get tired of this. This is a wonderful thing. And we're glad you could be with us. As Jason said, we welcome those who are watching us on live stream. We're glad you can join with us. We encourage you also at home to get your Bibles if you're watching this and to follow along to some things that we'll be doing today. We are delighted to be in the presence of God. He's given us a glorious day, wonderful occasion to worship Him, to honor Him, and to realize that we need Him in our lives. We're going to talk about questions today. You know, it's been said that life is a question. There's all kinds of questions. If you spend an afternoon with a four-year-old, you get lots of questions. How come up is up and down is down? And while you're trying to answer that, they ask you another question. How come ice cream's cold? And while you're thinking about that one, they ask you, how come girls don't like frogs? All kinds of questions. In the midst of the COVID, we have all kinds of questions. When will this end? What is going to be the solution here? When will we ever be back to normal? There are all kinds of questions that fill our lives. The writer Ken Coleman said this. He said, good questions inform, but great questions transform. Another one said, you can tell a man is clever by his answers. You can tell a man is wise by the questions that he asks. Robert Kennedy once said, some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not. And it should not surprise us that the Bible has questions. There's over 3,000 questions in the Bible. Questions that people ask God, questions people ask Jesus, questions that they ask other people. The very first question in our Bible came from the devil. He asked Eve, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? God's first question was to Adam, where are you? And throughout scriptures, we find all kinds of questions. The rich young ruler asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Nathanael asked Jesus, or made the statement, can anything good come out of Nazareth? When Jesus taught in parables, the disciples questioned him, why are you doing this? When they passed a blind man, they wanted to know who sinned that this man should be born blind. Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born again when he is old? Pilate says, what evil has he done? Lots and lots of questions. Good questions, silly questions, probing questions, dumb questions, personal questions. You know, one of the things you learn in life as you get older is that a man never asks a woman her age. That's a question you don't ask. We understand that some questions really don't matter. There are some questions that have no definitive answer. Who is the greatest baseball player of all time? You'll get all kinds of answers. What's the greatest movie ever? You'll get all kinds of answers. What's the best place to eat in this area? You'll get all kinds of answers. But this morning, what I want to focus upon is four questions that matter. And these are questions that I think, first of all, we need to think within our own hearts. But I think these four simple questions make a wonderful tool to share with your family, to share with others about where we are with the Lord. Question number one, does it matter that we believe in God? Does it matter that we believe in God? What if I simply say, I don't want to make a decision? You know, this time of year when there's political elections, sometimes you get texts or you'll get emails about and all these polls. Are you for this candidate or for this candidate? And sometimes there's a third choice, I'm undecided. Well, can I walk through life and say, you know, I don't know about God. I really don't want to make an opinion. I want to walk through life undecided about God. Does it really matter? If I'm just not into this religious stuff, is that okay? We want to answer the question today. It does matter. It matters because when you go to the book of Psalms, chapter 100, God made us. There it says, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Not only has God made you, but he made you to be like him. We are created in the image of God. Now we just pause there for a moment. All we have to do is look around this audience and say, well, what does that look like? We got tall, we got short, we got skinny, we got fat, we got young, we got old, we got hair, we got no hair. What does it mean I'm made in the image of God? Not on the outside, it's the inside. And that's the difference. That is the difference between you and the rest of creation, is that you are made in the image of God. By this, God has given you a conscience. By this, God has given you the capability of reason, of choice, of guilt, of understanding, of knowing right from wrong. Now, no other animal in the created world can do that. None of creation can do that. This fall, when all the leaves come down into your yard, and I've got a big woods behind me, and I've got a massive amount of leaves. Do the trees feel sad because they just feel my yard? No, they don't feel sad. Trees don't feel anything. They don't have that capability. Animals don't have that capability. So God made us in his image. And that's the idea that we need to see. From this, we understand that this is the building blocks of life. The very idea of our identity, the idea of our purpose, our direction, the idea of our worth, all of this is connected to God. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? All of those questions are answered by the concept that we are made in the image of God. Does it matter whether I believe in God or not? Yes, it does. Let me read you that. This is an old poem, but I like it. It says, three monkeys sat in a coconut tree, discussing the things that are said to be. Said one to another, now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor, but it can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. Well, that very idea, it's a disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies and ruined her life. Nor did ever a mother monk leave her babies with others to bunk, or pass them on from one to another till scarcely they know who is their mother. Here's another thing that a monkey won't do. Go out at night and get in a stew, or use a gun, a club, or a knife to take another monkey's life. Yes, man descended that ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us. I like that idea. And so when we leave God out of the element, what is the answer? Why are we here? What's our purpose? Where are we going? Now, not only did God make us like him, but because of this eternity within us, because we are in the image of God, we will live on and on and on. We have no end. As we've mentioned multiple times in this building, death isn't the final answer. The cemetery isn't it. There's no final page to our story. We read your story, there's never going to be a the end, and the book closes, because there is no the end. And again, that's a concept, because we are made like God. Thirdly, as we think about this, he calls us to be accountable. He calls us to be accountable because he made us. Now what we see as we weave this together and we think about our culture and we think about where we are, we are not animals. We're not part of the animal kingdom. Animals run on instinct. We don't run on instinct. You come home from work one day and your dog's been in the trash. There's trash all over your house. Oh, you're mad. You could sell that dog. But at the end of the day, that dog is acting like a dog. You come home the next day and there's trash all over the house, but the dog's in a little pen. It's your teenage son who did that. Well, that's a different story, isn't it? Because he knows better. He's accountable. That's the idea we think about with this. And so we find passages like Romans 14, where there the Bible says, do you not know, or he says, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Animals don't do that. Trees don't do that. But you will, and the reason is because you are made in the image of God. Now, I can walk through life and say, you know what? I don't want to believe in God. I don't want to think about God. I don't want God mentioned whatsoever. Guess what? That doesn't change this point. You will still see God someday, and you'll still have to give an account. Because that's the way God has made things. Book of Corinthians, it says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us will be recompensed for his deeds done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so when we think about this idea, we think about these questions. A great question to ask is, why do we believe in God? And the answer is because he is. Because we live on. Because he made us like him. Because we are accountable to him. And we need to appreciate those things. Now, before we leave this point here, how do I know there's a God? Because some guy on a Sunday morning stands behind a pulpit and says so? No. All throughout your life, God has left his thumbprint. Now, let me show you just a couple of these. Got your Bible? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. And we're going to be right here and right back to Psalms 19 in just a moment, another point. But Psalms 19, if you will. And let's begin with verse 1. Psalms 19, and let's begin here with verse 1. It says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor their words. Their voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth, and the utterances to the end of the earth. In them he has placed as a tent for the sun, which is as the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its risings from one end of the heavens, its circuit to the other end of them, and there's nothing hidden from his heart. Man, what does that mean? What's poetic language? Get out of your house. Turn off the TV. Look outside, especially this time of year. You'll never see colors like you see coming down the road here. That's God. And what God is saying is, look at this. All around you is examples. Examples of my nature. Examples of my characteristics. All around you see this. In the book of Romans now, if you will, Romans chapter 1. Let's turn there in our Bible. Romans chapter 1. And notice verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Again, a thumbprint of God seen everywhere. Here is Paul's talking to the Gentile people. He says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. How do I know there's a God? Open your eyes. Look around. You think all this just happened? You think it was just luck? That your legs bend out that way instead of the other way? It'd be kind of hard to sit down. They bent the other way. You think it's just luck that your ears on your head, not the bottom of your feet? Do you think it's just luck that everything happens the way it happens? Or is there something behind that? Doesn't matter that we believe in God. It does. It really does. And we're going to tie this back here in just a moment. Question number two, just as important. Doesn't matter that we follow the Bible. Doesn't matter that we follow the Bible. Got your Bible, Psalms, again, Psalms 19. Let's go back to Psalms 19. And let's pick up where we left off. In Psalms 19, the first six verses which we read deal with God's creative world. He says he's shown us things, but there's no words. But now beginning with verse 7, as he continues on here in Psalms 19, he talks about God's special revelation. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward. Does it matter if we follow the Bible? First of all, without the Bible, we don't know God. Now, we know something's out there. The world shows us something's out there. But is it the moon that causes this? That's why the Indians worship the moon. Could it be the river? That's why they worship the river. The Greeks and the Romans, they made up their gods. There was Zeus and Apollo, and they looked like men, and they fought like men. Maybe that's who all this is. We don't know until we open the book. And when we open the book, we learn about him. And we learn about his nature. And we learn about his ways. And we learn how important he is. And what we find out is that God wants us to follow his words. Take your Bible, if you will. Now, let's turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul was writing about inspiration here. Notice what it says, begin at verse 3. Ephesians 3, verse 3. That by revelation there is made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Paul says, God told me something. I wrote it down. When you read it, you know what I know. And what I know is the mind of God. Paul would say in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, who knows the mind of someone other than has been revealed? For instance, I don't know what you're thinking right now. I mean, I hope you're thinking, man, that's an amazing sermon. Man, that's off the charts. You could be thinking, when will he ever be done? I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. Now, if I was to tell you what I'm thinking, you know. Same thing what Paul says in Corinthians about God. No one knows what goes through God's mind unless it's been told to us. So what is God like? What does God want? What is God interested in? I don't know, you don't know, unless we read what it has been revealed. And so, do I need to follow the Bible? If I want to know God, I have to. I have to see how important that is. Now, we often hear folks say, well, can't I just be good? Can't I just, you know, I'm just not into following Bibles. I'm not into reading. All that stuff you're talking about sounds good. But can I just be good and that's good? Can I just do that? Well, the problem with that is, what's good? Good for you may not be my definition of good. What I think is good, you might think, oh, no, that's not good at all, Roger. I don't know where you got that idea. How interesting, in the book of Micah, the Bible says, he has told you, oh, man, what is good. What is good? God tells us. He tells us in the Bible. Here he says to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. So if you got your Bible now, let's turn over to the book of 1 John, if you will. Walk with me through about two or three different places here in the book of 1 John. And I want you to notice how God wants you to follow his word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, verse 4. 1 John 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. How do you know God? I follow the Bible. I do what the Bible says. Flip a page, if you will. Chapter 3, verse 24. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And we know that by this he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Once again, if you will, go back to the Gospel of John. John 14, if you will. John chapter 14. And notice what he says in verse 15. Again, just another great statement about these things. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now how powerful that is. I love God. I want to go to heaven. I believe in all these things, but I don't want to do this. I'm just not into this. And what he's saying is, if you love me, you're going to do this, because that's me. That's me revealed. How interesting, in John chapter 1, Jesus is referred to as the Word, because the Word and Jesus, you cannot separate from one another. And so, a great question. Does it matter if we follow the Bible? And the answer is simply yes. Now the question we need to ask ourselves is, how closely are we following? From a distance, real close. You know, I'm into the Dodgers. The Dodgers are smoking this year. They are just killing it in baseball. Before, I would just kind of look at the standings. If they won last night, that's good. But not anymore. This year I'm really into it. I'm looking at the box scores, who hit home runs, how long did the pitcher pitch, all these things. You see, you can look at it from a distance. Pick out two or three good verses, the golden rule, kind of be nice to each other. Or you can follow it as if you're walking in someone's footsteps. How closely are we following the Bible? Got your Old Testaments? Let's go to the book of Leviticus, if you will. Leviticus chapter 10. And here's a great illustration of this. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. Talks about the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Many of us in this building have heard this story so many times. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. They were worshiping God. Hey, God loves worship, but they weren't following the word. What's interesting there in verse 1 in the ESV, it says they offered not a strange fire, but unauthorized. What would happen after services? I went out to my car, popped open my trunk, put on some police lights on top of my car, pulled Jimmy over. I'd be in trouble. Jimmy wouldn't be in trouble. I would be in trouble. Why? Because I am unauthorized to do that. They were offering something that was unauthorized. It was not according to the Bible. And what happened to him? God burned him up. And so when we think about, does it matter that we follow? It does. And so let's look at one other passage before we leave this point here. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter describes a spirit here that's so important. He says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you grow into respect to salvation. There's that desire. You've had those little babies born, and they just want that milk, and they have it all the time. Now, when that little baby's not eating, something's wrong. You go to the doctor. That little baby's not growing. Something's wrong. You go to the doctor. We ask ourselves, where are we with these things? Does it matter that we follow the Bible? The answer is yes. Question number three. I'm going to just skip this one here. Question number three. Does it matter that we become Christians? Does it matter that we become Christians? And again, this is something that a lot of people have questions with. They like all the benefits of Christianity. I like coming. I got nice people here. I like to go to heaven, but I'm not into commitments. I'm not into something that's just all these rules. I'm just not into all those things. Can I just go to heaven without becoming a Christian? I like these things, but I simply don't want to do all those things. And again, we need to see what the Bible says. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus said this, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that word perish means to be lost and lost forever. He would say in John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How do I believe in Jesus? Again, it's through that word that God has revealed to us. In Mark 16, he says, he who has believed and baptized shall be saved. He who has been disbelieved shall be condemned or perish. So, what is a Christian? Christian, someone who's taught the Bible. What is a Christian? Someone who follows the Bible. What is a Christian? Someone who's been baptized for the remission of their sins. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, all of us have sinned. All of us have let God down. All of us have done things we shouldn't have done. All of us were places we shouldn't have been. All of us have said things we shouldn't have said. All of us are guilty to a certain extent. And so what we understand is that sin doesn't just go away. You know, if you leave it out over time, it's just going to evaporate. And that doesn't happen with sin. Sin doesn't expire. You know, some things after a while expire. You buy something on Amazon with your credit card, they always want to know the expiration date of your card. If you say, well, my card, the expiration date is 0388. Guess what? You're not buying that thing. Because it has expired. Sin doesn't expire. And sin doesn't go away. And so it tells us how important it is that we become children of God and to follow what God wants us to do. Now again, in your Bible, let's notice a couple of verses, if you will. Turn with me to Acts chapter 22. Just simple verses, but verses we need to appreciate. Acts 22, verse 16. Now why do you delay? It was said to Saul. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name. My sins do not evaporate, do not expire, do not go away. How do I get rid of my sins? The blood of Jesus Christ. By faith, by repentance, by being baptized, That takes care of those sins. That's what we see in the book of Galatians, if you will, chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and notice verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul would say it this way. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Does it matter I become a Christian? Let's ask one family. They don't have to respond. But right here in the third row, the Bossier family. Justin's father passed away yesterday. Tragic and sad, but he was a Christian. This day is not the end. This is not forever gone. That makes all the difference in your life. What happens when it's my time to go? What happens when it's my time to go through that door? Oh, I've been a good guy. I've always paid my taxes. I've been kind to my neighbor. I've done all kinds of things. That's really good. But I never became a New Testament Christian. What's Jesus say? I'm going to perish. I'm going to be condemned. I'm not going to make it. Does it matter that I become a Christian? The answer is yes. It does matter. Now, before we leave this point, let's understand this very clearly, especially for our church family here. It's more than being baptized. There's a lot of folks that say, well, I was baptized, you know, back in 1970-something. But your character and your heart never changed. It's developing a spirit, a heart, a life like Jesus. And few places, I think, show it so clearly as the book of Colossians. You got your Bible? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And let's just read these verses here. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it's a matter of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abuse of speech. You know it's a change. I wasn't just baptized and I go to work and I'm mean and dog like everyone else. I have changed. I used to be ugly on the inside. Now I'm not. I used to chew out people. I don't do that anymore. I used to have anger that just topped the charts. I don't anymore. Why? Not just because I was baptized. I have put on Jesus. He would say as we continue on here, verse 8, but let them also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil. Oh, you get that one? Tell them the truth. Tell the truth when it hurts. Tell the truth when there may be consequences. Tell the truth when you don't want to tell the truth. Verse 10. And put on the new self who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You notice what happened? This guy changed. He once was this. He was like everyone else, but now he met Jesus Christ through the Bible, and he chose to change. Does it matter if I become a Christian? It's going to change the difference in your family. It's going to change the difference in your marriage. It's going to change the difference in all your relationships. It will make a difference in eternity and how important that is. And what we talk about here is this idea of commitment. I love the story of a pig and a chicken one day. They're walking down the road together, a pig and a chicken. And they passed by an orphanage. And they were talking to each other. They said, you know, we ought to help out that orphanage. We ought to make a donation. The chicken said, why don't we make a ham and egg breakfast for those children. Well, for the chicken, that's just a donation. For the pig, that's total commitment. That's what Jesus wants from you. He doesn't want just a donation. He wants total commitment. I'm all in with Jesus Christ. Now, question number four. Question number four, then we'll tie all this together. Doesn't matter which church I go to. Doesn't matter which church I go to. And again, common thoughts today is they're all the same. You drive up a little bit north here on Charlestown Road, there's Burger King, across the street's McDonald's. They're both hamburger places. Hamburger's a hamburger. There may be little differences, but they're basically the same thing. Church is the church is the church. Does it really matter? They all are basically the same thing. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And that's why, again, we need to look at some things. Got your Bible? Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and we read about Cain and Abel. First two children on the earth, sons of Adam and Eve. And as they grew up, they made a sacrifice to God. Verse 2 of Genesis chapter 4. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. That teaches us that not everything in worship is acceptable to God. Here's two brothers. They both offered things to God. God wanted a sacrifice. From that day forward, through Noah, through Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, all the way up to the cross of Jesus Christ, that sacrifice involved blood. There's always a death and the blood when you sacrifice to Jesus. Abel picked off the right thing. Cain got some vegetables. There was no sacrifice there. That was simply a donation. And what that passage teaches us, it teaches us how we worship matters. There are specific instructions about what is to be done. This is part of following the Bible. It's not which church has the best activities, which church has the best facility, which church makes me feel the best, which one is honoring God. Some have lost their purpose and their function of what the church is. I dare you to go tomorrow to the post office. Pull up to the post office and go in there, and they say, "Yes, sir, can I help you?" "Yes, I'm here to get my oil changed." They'll make a phone call and they'll probably take you away to some mental place. The post office doesn't change your oil. How come? I need my oil changed. It's convenient. Because that is not the function. That is not the purpose of the post office. And so what we understand is, what is the purpose? What is the function of the church? It is to praise God, number one, in a biblical fashion. Number two is to encourage the members to keep on this track. And number three, it is the idea of teaching those who don't know about Jesus. So what we see and what we understand is the idea of a church that's focused upon God, a church that's following God, and a church that's doing the things that God wants us to do. A worship-focused, a family-bonded, a service-minded, and a soul-winning church. That's the idea. In your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. Again, no, it's just an example of this. As we read about the churches that's listed here in Asia Minor. Verse 14, "But I have a few things against you, because you have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who keep teaching Balak to be a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. Thus you've also had some who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore." What's he saying? Y'all got some things that's going on that's not according to the book. You're teaching some things that's not in the book. You're holding to things that's not in the book. And what's God's answer say? That's awesome. Fill the pews. No, he said, change your ways. Why? Because it matters. It matters. And so we need to see, it matters whether we are following the Bible or not. And it matters whether things are done according to the Bible or not. It matters that we do what God wants and not what I want. In the book of Revelation, it ends this way. I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add them to the plagues which are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, don't add things to it. Don't take things away. We see how valuable it is to simply do what God wants us to do, to be focused upon heaven. Now, let's go back through those questions. Now, I changed one word. As we walked through this originally, I asked, does it matter if we? But now I'll change it to you. Does it matter if you believe in God? Does it? Does it matter if you follow the Bible? Does it matter if you become a Christian? Does it matter which church you attend? And what you notice in this lesson is that there's a theme through all of them. They're all connected. They all stand together or they all fall together, but they're together. And as I said earlier, when we think about the passing of a Christian, sad and tragic as it is, it's not the end. We have the hope of grand reunions. We know that they are better off than they've ever been here ever before. Just before services, we were talking about Billy Skaggs. Billy's been gone for a long time. I miss Billy. But one thing I said is he sure wouldn't want to be back here. Crazy world we live in. He's so glad where he's at. And so we ask these questions. We want you to think about them. Maybe in the course of this lesson, it's got you thinking. Maybe we need to have a conversation. Just sit down. Let's open up the book. Let's see what some things the Bible says. Let's see how important these things are. And when you think about this, these are the things that matter. There's a lot of things in life that just doesn't matter. You know, and when you get into business, business wants to get down to the bottom line to make a profit. That's what matters. You get into sports, they want the bottom line to win games. That's what matters. When you get to education, they want the bottom line to teach kids. That's what matters. We get to where we are now. What matters? What matters is I please the Lord of heaven who made me. I follow what he wants by listening to his word. I become what he wants me to become. And I worship him all the days of my life until he calls me home. That's what matters. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in things that really do not matter. We get all fussy sometimes about things that really in life really doesn't change a thing. These are the questions that matter. These are four good questions to ask your family. These are four good questions to ask your friends. These are greater questions to ask ourselves. If we can be of any help, you want to come forward to be baptized, you know enough, let's do that. If you just got a question, I want to go a little deeper than what you did. I want some more things. Let's get together. Let's have that conversation. Let's realize these questions really matter. Won't you come as we stand?